that's a lot of churches. So you get a unique perspective. And truthfully, it doesn't all run together, even though faces do sometimes. It always throws me a loop when I go to a church and someone walks up and I can see when they walk up, they're expecting recognition. You know how people do that to you. And I do recognize their face, but they just don't fit in the church I'm at. You know how that works? And oftentimes people do that to me. They'll actually be visiting from out of town in a church, and I was preaching in their church, and now I'm into another church, and their face doesn't go with the body of believers I'm with. And, you know, I think they actually enjoy that kind of stuff. I don't have any memory anymore anyway. I remember great what happened in 1967. You know, but what happened yesterday? Sorry. It's gone. It's been gone a long time ago. In fact, it was gone right after I did it. And I guess that's one of the benefits of getting older. But what I was going to say is I appreciate this church. I told your pastor yesterday that there's certain things that I've learned to look for when I go into churches. One of the things is balance. I've got to be balanced in a ministry. God's a God of balance. Jason spoke of it in Sunday school that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. A church ought to be stable. That means from the children upstairs all the way up to you folks that are of retirement age or already retired. Everybody ought to be, you know, yoke fellows, pulling together, serving together. And the way that your pastor and Brother Terry, they work together, this church works together, it's inspirational to me. I appreciate the way you put emphasis on things. And not to puff you up, but I've used you as an example on several occasions because God's still building churches today. People are still getting saved. And if it's not happening, it's our fault. He's just as powerful and big as he always has been. And he wants us to succeed. He will succeed. He succeeds in all that he does. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. And you'll hear our pastors say this oftentimes. They struggle with things. Jason, I've been preaching revival all this last week. When you preach a revival, there's a spiritual up that goes into it. There's a climbing, and then you reach this plateau. And so when you preach through a Friday, then you move right into like a sportsman's banquet venue on Saturday. I don't have a recovery time. And to beat it all, I don't know if anybody's had the privilege of having the flu this year. But I get to be with all you good Christian people, and there's always somebody that's coughing and wants to give me what they have. I have a very low resistance because of some problems I have health-wise, and so I can't preach in a mask. I despise wearing the things, so I pretty much keep myself vulnerable. So week before last, I was in a church, and everybody in that church was sick. And I was just praying, God, please don't let me get this, please. And I started running a fever the next day. And so I guess it was the Lord's time for me. And so this whole past week, I've been trying to not cough a lung up while I was preaching. And God's good because yesterday I didn't cough. And so far this morning, I'm doing well and past the fever or just feel a little fatigued. And so we thank God for what he's done and what he's doing. And prayerfully, I'm not an incubator for you to where I can pass it on to you. Actually, when I left our church on Friday, my son-in-law, who is on staff there, he just got back from the doctor, and he said, they just told me I had strep throat. And I said, great. That's just great. Just get away from me. Walk through the hall screaming, unclean, unclean. And you just keep it to yourself, and that would be fine with me. And so, 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Could we park right there? Man, he's so good to us. That we should be called the sons of God. Isn't it great today that you're born into that family? I'm not adopted into it. I'm born into it. I was born again through the Spirit of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Father, bless our time together this morning. Lord, may this church be a healthy church. Lord, you've given us all the tools to be healthy. Lord, our desire is to be healthy. But Lord, everything in religion today, everything in the world today, everything in the flesh, the full force of the devil is all pointing to us putting ourselves in a position to be like the world. In our worship, in our praise, in our service. Oh God in heaven, may we reject it. May it become repulsive to us. May we despise it as the sin that it is. May we allow your word and the spirit that lives in us to maintain that hope that's within us, that purifies us, sets us apart, makes us holy as you are holy. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and honor for what you'll do with us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a message. In fact, I actually got up this morning and went back over the notes of that message because that's the message I wanted to preach. And I'd been up for about an hour and a half when Jason finally rolled over and he goes, "What are you preaching on this morning, Dad?" He said, "Are you going to preach that message?" And I went, "No, I hadn't planned on it." Because I really think you ought to preach that message. I said, "I don't know. It's kind of basic." And I said, "It's really, I don't know that it's a Sunday morning message." And I really felt kind of leaning the other way. And he gets up and he's headed to the restroom, mumbling as he walks. And he said, "I really think you ought to preach that message." And so I was laying there and I was thinking about it. And I thought, well, you know, there's snow this morning and the people that are going to come out this morning are going to be people that are faithful to the Lord. People go to church because they want to go to church. So I actually changed the message. And I carry visuals for several messages with me. And sometimes I carry messages that don't have visuals for. And this is a new message, but it's something the Lord laid in my heart. It's a very practical, it's a very simple message. This was to me because I have a tendency to want to organize everything. I think we have this control thing. Preachers have it especially. You know, because they know that when you're dealing with people, you're not really in control. Ever. It's like being a father in a home. You think you're in charge, but really, you're never really in charge, you know. And so it's kind of, so we try to organize ourselves to where we're functioning, if I can put it that way. But there's something very unique about the church. The church is not an organization. Even those that function really well. And I'm in churches that function really well. I mean, pastors and their staff and their people, they just think it through all the way down the line. And I respect that. I like that. I'm kind of geared that way. And I like organization, but brothers and sisters in Christ, organization is never a substitution for Holy Spirit filling. Ever. I compare oftentimes a church to a doctor because that is what our job is. We're to go and reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to spiritually go out there and give life, make life available. The pastor of this church gets up and his job is to maintain health in this body, to see people born again into new life, to help the sick. Spiritually, that new convert that has all the weight of the world on them and now they're born again and they have no idea how to go about life and all the aspects of that life's exciting, but it reminds me of a doctor. You know, a doctor goes and he spends all these years and all these finances to prepare himself to save life, to maintain life, to give quality of life. We're all about living. That's what we're about. That's why he said, smile. Now, when he said that, I got convicted because when I'm thinking, the more I think, the worse my face gets, you know. My wife says, "You know, when you're deep in thought, you look really mean." I said, well, honey, I look really mean all the time anyway. It's just the way I look. And she said, yeah, but you really look mean. I said, well, I'm sorry, I can't think and be happy at the same time. I have to work really hard at thinking. And so, but I'll try harder. And I got convicted when preacher said it, because when we're thinking about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're lifting up our praise to Him, when we know that He takes care of all things for us, hey, listen, we ought to be rejoicing with our face too. But that's what we are. This church is like a doctor that goes out. And the problem is that many of our churches today, they have the education. They have the medications available. It's right here. They have it. They can diagnose. I'm with preachers. God's given them such insight, they can just diagnose people. They can look at them and read them. But may I say to you, you may have the medication, you may be able to diagnose, you may have the education to be able to read the people, but if you're not filled with the Spirit of God, if you can't or not willing to impart or maintain life, then what good are you? What are you accomplishing? A church is not an organization, it's an organism. It's a living entity. It breathes, it moves. And it's our job to be a picture of light and life to this community. And how bright your life is how much you're going to reach this community. That's the way it works. Now, when I was a kid, and that dates me, but when I was a kid, I grew up in a coal camp in the southern part of West Virginia. My dad was a coal miner. My grandfather was a coal miner. My great-grandfather was a coal miner. So I grew up in the old gold camps where they had the company store. And not only did you have the company store where they made their money on that, besides the guys down in the mines working, they also had their own company doctor. So when I was a kid, his name was Dr. Wilkerson. I remember him well. If you got sick, you didn't go to his office. He'd come to your house. Kind of like what we're supposed to do. We think we're going to win the world, but them all coming here, it doesn't work that way. We've got to go to them. And I'll never forget, I looked around, y'all found me one. He would walk in with one of these. This was magical to me. Kind of like a little house on the prairie. I mean, you know, I don't care what the Ingalls got. It could be the bubonic plague. The answer was in that bag. Isn't it true? I mean, listen, I couldn't figure it out because every time Dr. Wilson came to the house, no matter what was wrong with anybody in the house, it seemed like he had exactly what you needed in that bag. And he would walk in with his old leather bag and he would set it down on the bed, set it in the floor, and he would begin his examination. He'd get done, he'd give me the smile, and then back in those days, I was always praying, please let it be a pill. Please let it be a pill. Please let it be a pill. Never a pill. It was always a shot. Let's get tits taken care of right now. You know, we'll nip this in the bud. This is basic. This is fundamental as far as preaching this morning. But to me, nothing, absolutely nothing supersedes prayer in a church. You say, we know that. Then let me ask you a question. Why aren't we doing it? It's the easiest thing to do. And it's the most neglected thing in Christians today. How do you know that? Because I've been in over 400 churches. And I'm in far too many organizations instead of organisms. They may be organized. But listen, just because you have the medication and you can diagnose and you're organized doesn't mean you care about the lost world. And it doesn't mean you're reaching them. And doesn't mean that you're willing to help them. I don't see it helping today. I don't see it happening. Look down at verse 22, the same chapter. It says, and whatsoever we ask, that's prayer. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. In other words, if I'm going to have a relationship with God, God says there's things that I must do. I must keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And then he goes on to tell me what that is. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you cannot believe how many churches I'm in where the people in the church who are supposed to be of one mind and one heart and one accord do nothing but gripe and complain and are embittered. Want to change positions, want to give up their positions, unwilling to serve, unwilling to teach, unwilling to sit in the nursery, unwilling to serve. Now, there's something wrong with that, because if I go back to a healthy person, it says that I'm purified within myself because he's pure. And listen, I know he's coming back, and one day I'm going to be like him, and I'm going to be perfect as he is perfect. All he requires of me right now is for me to see my life maintained and that I might see and give life to others, to present that to others. And through that, I'm going to have a joy and a peace and a commitment that is balanced. And I'm just not seeing it today. Well, so you have eyes to see. Well, that's the good thing about evangelism, is I get to step back. I'm out here. You guys are in the forest. I'm back here. And I get to look into these churches and see them. I hear the pastor talking. I hear the people talking. I get to preach to them. I watch them. I'm observing all the time. And I don't see the brother loving them. Listen, you'll never, ever, ever love these lost people out here unless you love one another. And you can't tell me you love the Lord Jesus Christ if you can't love the most unlovable person in this church. I've heard the old adage, well, you don't have to like them to love them. Well, the truth of the matter is, no, I don't go along with that all the way. There's lots of people, I'll be honest with you, it's not likable. I can't believe my wife has stuck with me for 45 years. I'm not a likable guy. I'm just not. I've got a level of intensity about me all the time. It's all the time. Now, she's not far off from me, but I'm worse than she is. That's why Jason's the way he is. In spades. It says in verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Can't be prayer, folks. Prayer's what makes, listen, prayer's what impassions me. This right here, this instructs me. But prayer is the passion that drives me forward. Prayer puts everything in context for this old boy. Prayer makes me dependent upon him. I've got three things. I'm going to move through them real quick. I've got my bag open. I've got some things in here for we've got to take. Now, this is the first thing. This is right here. It says, character. Do you notice how many athletes today you've got a 22-year-old young man, he's on a basketball court, and he's just got a new contract for $120 million. And the guy's good. He wouldn't be in pro ball if he wasn't good. He's an excellent basketball player. But you know what? His character just can't pay the card for his lifestyle and what he's got. His talent supersedes his character. So therefore, his money will always be a detriment to him. And many of them come to the point and place in life where that fame cost him not only his finances, his name or integrity, but many times it cost them their life. Character is important. Character is what you are inside. Now, there's people in this church that have a reputation. You work hard at what other people think about you, but reputation is what someone else sees. Character is who you are. Daniel and the three Hebrew children were taken captive, taken from their environment, what they knew, what they believed, who they were, They were taken into an empire where everything was foreign to them. What they ate, how they slept, when they got up, what they did, everything. But because Daniel and the three Hebrew children had a relationship with God, and they talked to God, and their relationship with God was more important than anything here, then they didn't allow that to influence them because they had Christian character. We can talk about Daniel going into the den of lions, or the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, or Daniel bowing his knee in prayer. We can talk about them refusing the food and what God did for them. All of those miracles that we know about are all because of a relationship, because these young men had character. Now, God says some things about this here. Just like any other thing you take, it says take internally, because character is an internal thing. It's who I am. Prayer gives me character. A prayerless individual will have no character. That's why you have people always trying to prove they're godly, just like Jason talked about in Sunday school. A person with Christian character is an individual, listen, that has a relationship with God. And it goes beyond God just talking to us by us reading the Word. It's us talking to Him. It puts me in a position of dependency. Why in the world am I going to ask Him for something if I can do it myself? But the older you get in the Lord, the more you realize I can't do anything without Him. Nothing. So when I become 100% totally dependent on Him, I love Revelation chapter 3, and I thought of it as I was sitting there on the front pew. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and will sup with him. And the last part of that verse is the best part for me. And he with me. It's a two-way street. I will come in and I will sup with him. I will be intimate with you. I will dine with you. I want to be with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to talk to you about what went on through the day. I want to do that with you. And if you're any kind of son in me, if you're any kind of Christian, if you have any character at all, you want to reciprocate. And you want to talk to me. But you only enjoy a relationship with God by talking to God. Spending time with God. I can do it this morning because she's upstairs. I love to listen to my wife pray. Because my wife is usually about three sentences in her prayer, and I'm not even in the room. It's just her and the Lord. She goes into these conversations, and I'll be honest with you, many times I'll just kind of... I just love to listen to her pray. My wife's prayer sheet is a notebook about that thick. She still prays for people we were praying for their salvation in Baltimore back in the 90s. These people are probably in eternity now. But if she tells you she's going to pray for you, listen, if you want somebody to pray for your children, you just go to her, because when they go on the list, until she goes to heaven, she's praying for that individual. Or until she knows they got saved and she can change the prayer. And I wouldn't know how she breaks it up into categories in her mind. I mean, every pastor, she prays for him. Every pastor's wife, she prays for him. I don't get in on them prayers. It must be taking a lot of time. I love to listen to her talk to God. You know what that comes from? A life of dependency. My wife got saved very early in her life, and she settled very early she was going to serve the Lord. And every time I listen to her talk to God, and I'll go into a conversation, I think, isn't this cool, God? How that you're listening to Debbie and you're listening to me at the same time like that, on that level. And He answers because He loves me. And He can't wait. He can't wait to come back and get us, that we can be as He is. We can be full health, no sickness, no illness. There's never a time in this church that somebody's not hurting. Ever. There's never a time that somebody's spiritually not on the teeter-totter, about ready to go into the world or get in trouble. There's somebody in here like that right now. There's somebody in here right now questioning whether or not they're a child of God. And prayer is the only thing that maintains and builds character. It's something internally you have to take every day. Every day. Oh, what's the ingredients? Well, there's several here. Look at verse 9. It says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is what? Born of God. You have to be born again. God doesn't hear your prayers unless you're saved and born again. In other words, listen to me. In other words, if you're not saved, you can't have character. Because character is internal. You can try to work on a reputation. You can try to get people convinced of who you are. But in reality, you're trying to depend upon yourself, and that means you're born in pride. I was talking to a young man, a teenager, on Wednesday. And he came up and he says, I don't assert myself. I'm not out to, you know, win the world or build some big business or anything. I don't see myself as a prideful individual. I said, son, you're not understanding. When you were born, you were in pride. It's the nature of the flesh. I said, I have to see myself as dependent. I have to move myself out of God's position every morning. That's why I die to myself every day. I said, I have to move out of God's position, allow God to stand in His position, and then I have to get a hold of His shirt tail and realize I can't get through life unless He takes me through. I said, all of us have a pride problem. There's not a man born without a pride problem. So I can't have character unless, first of all, I'm born of God. There was a time and place in my life that I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me. I needed God then and I need God now. That was my beginning. It was when I needed God and I asked God to save me. And I've needed Him every day since. Not to save me, but to keep me. To teach me. To instruct me. I'm born again. It says there, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. I'll tell you the second thing. He'll hate sin. You can't talk to God constantly throughout the day without ceasing and not hate sin. I hate what sin does to me. I hate what sin does to my family. I hate what sin does to America. I hate sin. I hate the consequences of sin. I despise death. I despise watching people deteriorate. I hate that. I hate it. I hate separation. I get to know people in churches, and just as soon as I get there, I get to know them, get to see them again, and then I'm gone again. Wouldn't it be great when we don't have to do that anymore? Wouldn't it be great when we can be in heaven, and we can just fellowship one with another? The Lord's right there with us. I don't know about you. I get me charged up. It's like cranking me up, you know? That's what prayer does for me. There's just something about bowing my heart to God and admitting to God, God, I can't do anything without you. But I know you love me and you're going to take care. And you start naming all the things that God's done for you. And all of a sudden, it's like God begins to fill up your faith fuel tank. Amen? That's what it is for me. We hate sin. Listen, if you're in here this morning, and you're saved and you're born again, and you're harboring sin in your life, well, it's kind of like going out there to my Ford and taking the wheels off of it. You can go out there and start the engine up, and you can press down the accelerator all you want to, but you're not going anywhere. That's what sin does to a person in their prayer life and their Christian walk. And you'll never have any Christian character. You'll always be living under the canopy of guilt. Can I say something to you this morning? God, when He created this body, this flesh, He did not create it to bear the burden of guilt. It wasn't designed for it. That's why as soon as you start feeling guilty about something, you immediately begin to excuse yourself and try to transfer that guilt to somebody else. You look at somebody else and you go, well, that's mom and dad's fault. Well, you don't understand, that's my boss's fault. No, that's pastor's fault. No, listen, I have a chemical imbalance. No, you have a sin problem. And sin creates guilt on us and we're not built for it. That's why Christ died on the cross. And He, listen, that day that He drank the cup of sin for you and I, He took it in Him and on Him. And even in that moment, in that second, in that time, He went from being the Son of God to that which was repulsive to God. Because He took all the sin of the world on Himself for you and me. And everything that I've ever done or I'm doing or will ever do is paid for. where I don't have to bear that burden of guilt, and I can bow my heart before God as Daniel did, and I make my request unto God. Listen, he knew that he could be put to the den of lions for getting down on his knees and praying. But what he was saying to God was more important than his life. Is prayer that important to you? I know I'm hitting home because people don't pray today. That's why pastors are constantly trying to organize themselves into a position where they can reach the world, and we're not going to do it! My job is to see that people are born again. They go from death to life. That Christians have a life, and it's an abundant life. That's what I'm all about. That's why a church has to have their doctor's bag, and all the answers are right there. And that answer is prayer. There's no substitution for it. Verse 11 there, look at it. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Christian character means that I love the brother no matter what. You know, if we'd go over to Peter, and we won't do it this morning, but the truth of the matter is, if I was to go over to Peter, you're going to find out that when I walk through the doors this morning, no matter if I'm older than you, I'm more educated than you, I've got more experience than you, it doesn't matter. I come in the door, I put myself or submit myself to you. I'm underneath you. The Son of God left heaven and submitted himself to mankind. Born in a lowly manger, never had a place to pillow his head they called home. His family rejected him. His community rejected him. The disciples forsook him. All those that he healed on the day of Golgotha, they all forsook him. When I walk through those doors, I'm to submit myself to you. That means that there's no room for pride in me. I've got to be dead to myself that I might be able to serve you. But if I'm only worried about me, how am I ever going to think about you? Now it gets home, doesn't it? All of a sudden we go to realize that we don't have as much Christian character as we thought we had. Because there's no conditions on me loving you. Just because you don't like me, that doesn't mean I'm not supposed to love you. Just because you're not growing in grace and knowledge and you're stuck in that one thing in your life that you can't get past doesn't mean I'm not supposed to be praying that God help you get past that thing. And I still love you. And you're supposed to do likewise with me. To be understanding with me. That's Christian character. You're saved. You're born again. You hate sin. You love the brethren. One more here. Look at verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. The world's going to hate you. If I'm doing my job, the world doesn't like me. The preacher came over last year, saw us at the Great American Outdoor Show. No, we didn't do it this year, but they're scheduling it right now. We're still scheduled for next year. We got some flack last year because we were witnessing. But they told us, to begin with, as long as I gave out the literature from my booth. Well, I ended up with like 7 or 8 people even last year that came and got tracts from us. To give out. They were saved people. So a lot of our tracks was all over that place. So they thought we were going around. I said, no. Had other people that were Christians from other booths come to us. We have a service on Sunday morning. And one of the guys said, hey, listen, the Caldwells have a bunch of tracks. So if you want tracks to give out, they've got them. So next year, by God's grace, we'll have John Romans. Amen. Because they told me I could. And as long as it's from my booth, I can do that. And the world doesn't like that. Even the NRA. They don't like that. Because they're of the world. Hey, listen, the world's not going to like you for you trying to impart life. You can do everything else. Just don't confront me with life. Isn't that sad? But they're dead and they're trespassing sin. They're blind. They don't know any better. Christian character. Next. I've got another one here. This is like cream. I got the flu this time. I guess people do love you because I had everybody in the world tell me what I ought to do to take care of the flu. My one daughter told me to cut an onion in half and lay it next to my bed. I said, honey, you know how bad that onion stinks? She said, Dad, it absorbs the bacteria. She went through this whole line of things, and she's telling me what it would do. And I had several women. They had me back putting Vicks VapoRub on my feet, on my legs, on my chest, under my nose. I said, in other words, I should just get in the tub and squeeze myself down real good with Vicks VapoRub. I mean, all of them had their idea of what you should do. Character is internal. This is external, like Vicks VapoRub. It's your conduct. That's why I know we're trying to organize ourselves past prayer. We're trying to circumvent prayer. We're trying to get around prayer. And prayer is the easiest thing, and it's the only thing that's productive. It's our conduct. See, if I look at the Hebrew children, they didn't know that Jesus was going to come in that fiery furnace. They could have burned up. They were willing to go anyway. That's conduct. Because they have character. Conduct's what I do. Character's who I am. And listen, we talk the talk. We dress the look. But I don't sit in our conduct. I just don't. This one here, I put down three times daily. You know, we ought to pray at least three times a day. We ought to be praying without ceasing, but, you know, conduct, externally as needed. As needed. Look at verse 10 there. It says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. A person with right conduct will make righteous choices. Now, a pastor has been pastoring quite a while. This is my 45th year in the ministry. Experience has taught me one thing. Most people that want to come in and see me about a decision they're going to make in life, I've already made their decision. I'm not trying, I'm just the truth. When they come in, what they're wanting is for me to put my stamp of approval on them doing what they want to do. And so when they ask me, I take the Word of God, I open the Word of God up, and I say, well, this is what God says. I know, preacher, I know what the Bible says, but. As soon as they say, but, that means I want to do something other than what God says. Righteous choices. Doing the right thing. Why not just make a choice to do the right thing? Well, the reason we don't? Because we're not talking to God about it. See, if most people would pray about what they're going to do, they would never do what they're thinking about doing. And they would never even have to come to the preacher. Because they'd already know in their heart this is not what God wants them to do. Or they don't have to pray about being a witness or taking some trash and handing them out. It's just something you do. I had a new convert the other day, and he's talking to me, and he said, yeah, but you've been witnessing for years. And I said, and every time I walk up to a door I've never walked up to before, and I go to knock on the door, I'm timid about it. He goes, no way. I said, yes way. Sorry. I said, it doesn't get easier. Nothing that I do that's spiritually based is easy for this flesh. Ever. That's why I battle and war with me every day. But you just get used to doing the right thing because it pays. And it maintains my relationship with Him, and that's more important than anything else, because I can never be for you what I need to be if I'm not right with Him. I have to make righteous choices. Verse 17. But whoso hath the world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? I may sound kind of rough and tough, but I do it because I love you. And listen, we need to be a people that have compassion on one another. And when we do that, as a church, we'll be able to grab our bag of prayer and we'll go and help others. We'll do it. Lord knows we need compassion in our society today. The right kind of compassion. Have you ever seen so much bitterness and hatred in your life as you see today? I don't care what kind of tragedy we have in our country today, it brings out the worst gall you've ever seen in people. Now folks, I don't know if you see it, but I see the guns coming around and starting to point at us. It's going to be our fault. That's where the guns are coming around at. Politically, culturally, Tolerance for everything but Christianity. I don't know about you. Not out of fear. It's out of love that I go to him. But I don't know how I could make it without being able to go and talk to him. Compassion on one another. Verse 18 also says there, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That means we'll sacrifice. Listen, it's easy if I've got $1 million to turn and give you $1,000. It's a hard thing when I've got $1,000 and I give you $1,000. That's a sacrifice. And if I say this, I mean, a lot of churches have very strong, healthy missions programs. But they're reaching almost nobody with the gospel on a personal level. You know why? It's easier for them to give their money. It is for them to give their time and for them to put themselves on the line. Real sacrifice is going out when you don't want to go out. I don't know about you, but there's times I don't feel like going to church. And the only reason I'm going that morning is because I'm preaching. That's the truth. I don't feel like it. But I can't not do it. Verse 19. And hereby we know they were in truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For our heart condemn us. God is greater than a heart and knoweth all things. You know, you hear all I hear today is trust your heart. Just trust your heart, brother. Just trust your heart. Now, I'm sorry, I can't trust my heart. I don't trust my heart. No, I'm not going to trust my heart. I'm going to be a student of the Word. I'm going to know the Word well enough. I'm going to know my doctrine well enough that I already know what I'm supposed to do. Because I can't trust my heart. And once I read it in here, then I know that I can go to God when I don't want to ask anything amiss of the Lord. See, I've got certain guidelines. If I'm going to ask anything of God, it's for His honor and glory. If it's not going to glorify Him, then I don't want to ask Him. There's certain prerequisites I have in my prayer life and talking to God. I want Him to receive the glory from what's happening in my life. Now, I know we've seen loss. You've talked about loss in this church this morning. Everybody has things that the unknown has crept in. My wife's never been sick a day in her life. Ever. Debbie's been in the hospital 5 times to have 5 children. Next day, she's home. She's just that way. Back last November, we got a report and they found spots in her lungs. We thought she had cancer. Went through the whole PET scan, all the scans, all the things. No lung cancer. It was scar tissue from pneumonia as a child. But they found a tumor on her adrenal. And was pretty certain it was cancer. And we just found out last week that it's benign. And so they're still going to remove it. But we praise God. But don't you hate the unknown? Hate that period of time. That time where you just say, well, Lord, you know, she belongs to you. I love her. You've given her to me all these years, but your will be done. Give us the course of action. Give us peace on what we're supposed to do. May you receive honor and glory for all that's done. Whether it's lost in all things, we're supposed to give him praise and honor. So, character and conduct. I have one more. And I'm just about done. I had to bring it out because it always was brought out to me. I recently went through a period of time where I had to be given a shot each day. And it was in a proximity of my body that I can't give it to myself. So I told my wife, I said, honey, I can call Jay if you want me to, and he can give me the shot. And she says, no, I think I can do it. She was afraid to poke me. I said, honey, it's not hurting you, it's hurting me. I don't know that I do it, so she would shut her eyes and stab at me. Well, I got one of those Galantham bows where she actually broke the needle off. Debbie doesn't do anything halfway. So after then, she was really timid. She would try to, honey, just do it. Get it done. The serum that was a very thick, took a long time to get it in, so she had to, it was this big ordeal. I was so glad when it was over with. I'd like to be able to label this, but this is where, and I see us missing today, prayer finalizes a healthy, listen to this, God confidence. character, conduct, and God confidence. I said earlier that God did not design the body to bear the burden of sin and guilt. He didn't send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The transfer of my guilt was to the Lord Jesus Christ. I received an injection of the blood of Jesus Christ. That means that absent from this body is to be present with God. That means when God looks at Howard, he does not only just see Jesus Christ, he sees Howard. Sinless. That's the way God sees me. And God desires each of us. You ever heard the term, a good shot of something? He gives us a good shot of God confidence. The Hebrew children, Daniel, had God confidence. Now, this is the summation of it, because this is why I know that we don't have this working in our churches today. Because I don't see any God confidence. I don't even see it in pastors today. They're constantly trying to come up with something to make it work, whether it's in their music, their visuals, their, you know, the audiovisual setup of their church, the restructuring of their Sunday school. It just goes on and on and on. And the easiest thing for any of us to do is to talk to God. Nothing impassions me like talking to God. Nothing settles things for me any better than talking. Listen, nothing. You're not going to dissuade me because I know where my confidence comes from. That's why you can place a Christian that's truly saved in any environment and he's going to stand tall. God saved us to be healthy Christians. That means we're leaders. God made leaders out of saved people. Why? Because I have eyes to see and ears to hear. I can see afar off. Everybody else is concerned about their little world, but I see the world dying without Christ. And what we need today is a good shot of God confidence. Prayer does that for us. Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore," and the Bible says, "come boldly." Boldly is the same word as confidence. Come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10:19 and on. Character is internal. Conduct is external. You have character that's godly, a conduct that's righteous, God will, listen, give you a shot of God confidence. He gives you a shot of God confidence. I'll conclude with this. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor." How do I know if a vessel is an honorable vessel? I can take a vessel and bring it up here and it be empty, and I can show you that vessel, but I don't know if that vessel is any good till I do what? I put something in it and see if it leaks. Now, I can fill that vessel with adversity and see if it leaks. But that's the way we think. We think, well, the adverse things in life. If I can stand in adversity, then it shows that I'm a vessel unto honor. That means that I'm a Christian of character and my conduct is right and I have the confidence to trust in God. But what about the prosperity? Because that, I think, is our problem. It's not just the adversity of life, it's the prosperity of life. We're just too prosperous. We just don't need him. And I can get up and preach this to lost people and say, listen, the reason you're not saved today is you just don't need God. But the problem with our churches today is, well, listen, we have our buildings, we have our organization, we have our programs, we have our visuals. Hey, listen, we've got everything worked out. We've got we've got money in the bank, and they say for? What do we need to talk to God for? But in reality, now listen to me, in reality, this is the church. This is the only thing I have to go out into the world with. Right here. I have my character, my conduct, and my God confidence. This is what I travel with. This is all I need. Think of how many missionaries went to the field without a dime of support. Lost family, children, health, everything for the cause of Jesus Christ. And they survived on this. Simple, maybe. Not too simple, because we're not doing it. It's not. Let's bow our heads together. Are you a vessel unto honor? A vessel unto honor this morning? Pianist is going to come and play. Listen, you may be here this morning and you don't see the need for God, but maybe through this message you realize that you need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're saved. You know you're saved. Can I question you this morning what your prayer life's like? Can you really be honest about what your prayer life's like? How do I know, preacher? Well, examine your character, not your reputation, your character. How's your guilt meter? What's your conduct like? Do you like live righteously before the Lord? Do you have compassion on others, the lost, and brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you hate sin? Does the world hate you? See where I'm coming from? What's your first line of action in everything that you do? Is it go to God? Is it to go to God? Good questions, huh? Let's stand our feet quietly. Can we do that? I'm going to have work.